This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. For months now, summer camps, not to mention campers, have been in limbo. Will there be swimming, archery, horseback riding, crafts and canoeing? S'mores with songs by the campfire? Will there even be camp this year? Things are starting to look a little clearer, at least for Michigan's day camps. Governor Whitmer lifted the stay-at-home order on Monday, and in doing so, she also announced day camps will be allowed to open starting next week. So what does a day at camp look like amid the pandemic? Dave Morgan is the CEO of the YMCA of Greater Kalamazoo, and he's agreed to come talk to us about this. Dave, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us what the last couple of months have looked like.
Well, it's been different. I will tell you, I think that we've been learning as we go. What I always tell people is the one thing I've learned is the only wrong decision I make is the one that I don't make, meaning that it is just changing all the time. So we just have to be prepared and go with whatever the best information we have at that moment and then adapt it as things change.
You're already offering childcare for essential workers in the greater Kalamazoo community. Have you learned anything through that process about how you might be able to run summer camps safely?
Yeah, we have. I think along the way, what we've done is we've learned the safety protocols we follow along what were developed through the CDC and others regarding masks at all times for our employees, hand washing, limiting our program space to small numbers, no more than 10 kids in a group, keeping them isolated from each other. I think that there's been some good and bad in that. And we'll, as we talk about camp a little bit, is, the kids don't get the exposure to the large group that they normally would. And so you don't get to develop the large group of friendships. But we've kind of looked at it as quality instead of quantity now. And really, as these small groups really engage with each other on a daily basis, that they get to know their staff, because the staff don't turn over like they normally might, because we try to keep staff somewhat socially isolated with each group. Mm-hmm. So I think we've really learned to manage as we go. The kids are still having a great experience. It's not the one that they are maybe used to, but we have learned a lot along the way.
Can you break down your budget for us a little bit? I mean, what is the income makeup for day camps?
Well, that's probably the biggest challenge. Well, one thing we've learned is, with the staff ratios that we're doing, which is a one staff per every five children, there's no money to be made in the world of childcare or even camp this summer. We're doing it because we know it's an obligation or responsibility we have for our community to support our healthcare workers and our grocery store employees and our police officers and firefighters and those that are doing some really heavy lifting for our community. As we go into this, obviously we've gotten some support and we continue to get some support from our donors, our members, our sponsors. But as far as the revenue generated from childcare, simply put, there's no money to be made in childcare at this point.
Let's talk about shifting into gear for summer. Did you have any advance warning that the governor was going to lift restrictions on day camps?
Well, so we have been preparing all along that would be the case. And, as we look at camp, obviously we want the kids to have that experience. But we also understand the value it brings because the economy begins to open. People are going back to work. There's a need for camp and childcare services for families, and that's only going to expand. We also, our biggest concern was we serve some of the most vulnerable neighborhoods along the north side of and east of Kalamazoo. And a number of our kids, this is an important educational component to them, so they don't see that summer slide. And so we wanted to make sure that we were giving them that experience so that as they prepare for school in the fall, they're ready.
You mentioned the size of the groups. Are there other ways in which day camp activities will be changing? I mean, everybody seems to want to know about swimming pools first and foremost.
Well, for us, that camp experience is obviously going to be different. The smaller groups don't allow for big gameplay and some of the activities that the kids are used to. Swimming is still a little bit up in the air. Most of our kids swim indoors normally for our summer camp, because our camps are city-based and near our YMCA facilities, and so the pools aren't going to be opened at this point. But we'll continue to do many of the same activities that they're used to. Again, they're going to have their daily transitions from dramatic play to STEM activities, physical activities, dramatic play. All of that will continue on, and the staff will make sure that the kids have that special experience. We want the kids to be able to return to some sense of normalcy best that they can. But again, things like field trips are going to be eliminated for this summer for us anyway, because the bus transportation is challenging. Socially distancing on a bus is a challenge, and doing large groups, 66 passenger bus does not mean 66 kids on a bus any longer. And so we really have just decided to focus on some really specialty items for small groups within our facilities.
Do you have any guidance on whether sports activities will be okay to do?
Well, again, I think as you look at what the governor's guidelines are, small groups are allowed as long as we can socially distance. And we are going to do the best we can to allow kids some experience as far as, again, physical play and games. But we are not, as a YMCA, for example, moving towards any of what would typically be like our spring or summer sports programs, things like that. Those group activities aren't going to continue, at least at this point in time. But the summer program, some of those things that the kids are, and even a good example of tennis, and where you can do some activities around one-on-one and distance that way. And sometimes it's just catch or frisbee and some of those game plays that again, allow kids to be spread out a little bit more than they normally would be. And again, our goal is to keep them as socially distanced as we possibly can. But we also know that kids are kids. And so it's, they're not living with in a bubble either and stuff. And so we'll do the best we can. We also, in that light, is we know that we share equipment and things like that. We make sure it's sanitized regularly. Even our groups, because they will share gym space, for example, we don't do two groups at one time in a space. And so that when a group goes in there and may play basketball, for example, where kids are separating themselves and using each basket and sharing or each having their own equipment, when the next group comes in, we actually sanitize the equipment, sanitize the space, and the next group then can come in and use each of those baskets and each of that equipment. So we do have some very strict protocols in place. And our goal is, what we recognize is we're trying to mitigate the risk. We know that, again, COVID-19 is out there, and until there's a vaccine, there's always going to be some level of risk.
Yeah. Dave, I was kind of just wondering, as the parent of a school-age kid, what you're telling staff about how the kids can be together. I mean, small groups definitely sound like, an important step, but anyone who's around kids knows that they're just like on each other all the time.
Yeah.
Is there a plan?
Well, and again, I think that our plan is that parents understand the risk that they're also taking a little bit. We are going to do the best we can. We keep, again, the kids as isolated as we can be, the small groups. But you're right, kids will be kids. Kids don't. They're not living with the little bit of the joke is a noodle around their head that keeps them far enough away or, 6 feet away from every kid at every moment. And that's just impossible. And so we are upfront with parents. They recognize that. They know that there is some inherent risk with the kids being close to each other. But there is no specific six-foot barrier. Our goal is to keep them as separate as we possibly can. But also that's why we do the small groups, so that groups aren't cross-contaminating. Even staff aren't cross-contaminating from one group to the other, so that if, God forbid, there is some sort of outbreak or response, then we've isolated it within itself, and so that the groups aren't, again, cross-contaminating one another. But we've been doing this now for 10 weeks. We have not had an instance at all. We also do a health check before everybody comes into our programs, as you'll see, and not only is it a simple asking of certain questions of have you been around anybody or exposed to anybody with COVID-19, we do a temperature check, we do a health screening at are you showing any signs of or symptoms of fever, cough, a series of things, just to make sure that before they even enter our programs, we've lessened that chance for risk. And we do that for every participant, every parent that comes into the classrooms, any staff, any vendors, anybody that's preparing meal, all of that is done in as a safe manner as we possibly can.
Dave Morgan leads the YMCA of Greater Kalamazoo. Dave, good talking to you.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
While the picture is clearing for day camps this summer, it's entirely a different matter for the state's sleepaway camps, the kind of places where in other times Michigan childhood magic is made. Jake Jacobs is the director of Camp Henry in Newaygo. Jake, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 were a typical year, everything right on schedule, and finances looking fully solvent, And if we consider that one would be no camp at all in session, where is Camp Henry right now?
Well, that's a great question. It feels a little bit like a yo-yo. You could ask me that question again in 5 minutes and my number might change.
Right.
There's moments of great optimism and other moments where it feels like we're just pushing a rock uphill and we're wondering if we're ever going to get to the peak. But, I think today I'm more optimistic than maybe I was last week. There's been some good positive momentum. So, and we're hanging in there. We're going to continue to pursue all options until we exhaust all options to serve kids at camp. I think certainly everybody has the safety of kiddos and staff at the forefront of their focus. So sometimes I think that just requires maybe an extra level of review or a new set of eyes. And I think also one of the things that I've noticed is we're bringing people into that decision-making process that might be public health experts or medical professionals. And some may and some may not have a great sense of what a camp experience is like. So a little bit of is getting them up to speed on just what a typical camp experience is like and how some of their recommendations and best practices would really play out in a summer camp setting.
Well, we have been hearing repeatedly that sleepaway camps are awaiting guidance. What does that mean? Who are you looking toward right now?
We're glad to be partnering with the state licensing, LARA, in the state of Michigan. They're the ones that provide us with a license to be able to operate and serve kiddos. And there's a work group that's been put together that's working with state licensing and some policy advisors in the governor's office. And I've actually been one of the, 12 or 15 camp directors throughout the state that's been asked to be a part of that work group. My understanding is, day camp's recommendations came out yesterday, which was great. And I think the word is there's a draft of those resident camp guidelines that are in the works. And I think they hope to share those with this work group early next week.
What kind of recommendations did you bring up as the group advising Governor Whitmer was meeting?
Well, I think I'm obviously highly biased, not only as a camping professional, but as a dad of three kiddos. But just pointing out that I think kids are going to be getting outdoors. They're going to be connecting with other kids. And, kids just really need for their social and emotional and mental health to be out and gathering and connecting. And, my point of view is wouldn't you rather have that happen in a camp setting where they're really well supervised, that there are structured activities, that there are often, as there are at Camp Henry, health staff on site 24 hours a day. And in many ways, I think the week that a kid would spend at camp is probably going to be the safest week of their summer.
How so?
Well, if a kid's at home, they're likely not going to have that structure. They're likely not going to be as well supervised. They probably won't have someone monitoring their symptoms and taking their temperature each day. So, camps have been in the business of mitigating risk and taking care of kiddos since camps have been in existence. And so it's something that we're good at. And I think we can provide a really safe environment as long as we're thoughtful when we go about doing it.
We asked an epidemiologist about a week ago, who was also a dad, what he thinks about school in the fall. Now, granted, this was a different thing that we were asking him. We were asking him about a situation where kids would be indoors all the time and the relative safety, if he thinks that school in the fall is going to be possible in the way that we understand it. And he actually said that he's concerned that we don't understand enough about how the virus and some related conditions work in kids right now. What kind of medical advice are you getting?
Well, a lot, that's for sure. And, depending on who you ask, I wouldn't say you get wildly differing opinions, but like you mentioned, things are evolving so quickly that the advice is changing and just our knowledge of how to mitigate risks and how to care for kiddos is changing. I think some of the things that we're hearing that are pretty clear is outdoors is better than indoors and smaller groups are better than bigger groups. A lot of camps like us are in a fortunate situation where we can plan almost all, if not every program or activity or meal to take place outdoors, which will certainly, from everything we heard, increase safety and reduce the risks. And also just keeping kids in smaller groups and in intact groups and with the same leaders and being consistent with that. And then, of course, just tons of hand washing and sanitizing hands. And, a lot of these are practices that camps have had in place for years, but certainly a heightened focus and emphasis on it this year.
Right. Can you take us through a typical day at Camp Henry and what might look different this year, aside from the outdoor meals?
Yeah, well, we always joke when people ask what's a typical day at camp, we say there is no such thing, which is part of the joy and the adventure of being in the camping business. But, you know, I think to your question of what might look different is we're going to be really intentional working behind the scenes as we put activities and programs and schedules together to keep those kids from mixing with other groups, but doing so in a way that hopefully doesn't become a distraction from the camp experience. I think really the differences are those large group gatherings are either going to have to happen exclusively outdoors. They'll have to happen with kids in their individual groups, but those individual groups spread out from the other individual groups. We might have to do things multiple times. So whether it's meals or large group events or games or campfires, doing them either multiple times throughout the day so we can reduce the number of kiddos, or multiple locations throughout camp. For instance, you know, an opening campfire that we might have 250 people around, well, that might turn into five campfires with 50 people at five different locations.
How does all this affect your staffing situation?
Well, they have lots of questions as well, as do their parents. I think one of the things that has benefited us, we made the decision over a couple months ago that we wanted to honor our staff that had already signed on and committed to us for the summer. So we communicated with them that even if we had to cancel our entire summer, we were going to commit to pay them 50% of their summer pay. We're asking these folks to commit to us. And we just felt like, gosh, if it gets close to the start of summer camp and we're in a position where we're either not able to open or the state hasn't allowed us to open yet, or we have to cancel, that would just be a really crummy position to put those folks in and say, hey, sorry, we don't have a job. And also good luck finding a job in this environment. So mm-hmm. I think the fact that we made that decision about 2.5 months ago has been really helpful. I know as I've talked to some of my colleagues that are canceling or closing camp, that's one of the leading reasons is they just don't feel like they are able to commit to their staff and they don't want to cut it too close. And so they're trying to free them up before their summer camp season starts. We've also doubled the length of our staff training just because we know we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. We keep talking about this summer is going to feel like we're operating left-handed, just not quite the same, not quite as comfortable. But certainly it's something that we can adapt to and that we can practice and that we can get better. But having that additional week of training will certainly help.
Jake, thanks so much. We wish you luck and hope you're able to at least provide some experiences for the kids this year.
Yeah, well, thanks. We do, too. And I just, like I said before, I really think kids need camp now more than ever. They've suffered so many disappointments and they've lost out on so many opportunities. And certainly safety is at the top of the list, but I'm convinced that, you know, camp folks are creative. We always have been, and this is just another opportunity for us to step up and find a way to be creative and keep kids safe, but provide them with these experiences that I think they really need.
Jake Jacobs is the director of Camp Henry in Newaygo. Jake, take care.
Thanks so much.